Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And you can find me on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium, and that's where you can see and hear me and get all the great updates about my Wednesdays with Willa shows and other events and classes that I offer. This also is going out today on blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio, because I am part of the Lilydale Radio family, and there are a lot of wonderful shows that are part of the Lilydale Radio programming, and so I encourage you to check them all out. We've even added some more, and I'm not quite sure about all the dates and times for those, so you'll want to go to blogtalkradio.com/Lilydale Radio, and also many things are posted on the Lilydale Facebook page. So I know we're all gearing up for season. We are going to have a more of a limited season here in Lilydale, and you know, due to what's happening in the world, and so we'll be following the New York State and CDC guidelines. You can purchase passes for the day and passes for extended stays on the Lilydale Assembly website. So I would refer you there for information about the upcoming season and what services are going to be offered. Businesses and mediums are going to be open on an individual basis. So some will be open and some will not. So you'll have to check with those individual businesses and follow through there with those. So that's all the information I have for you about the upcoming season at this time, but it'll be wonderful. All the workshops and classes will be online, and you can still come onto the grounds purchasing your day pass or your extended day pass and enjoy Lilydale. So today I'm really excited to offer you the topic, the law of divine protection. And I feel that this is an important topic, no matter what day it is, but I always want to make sure that I'm in the flow of the energy and what I feel people are really calling out for in their prayers. And so we're going to focus today on the spiritual natural law of divine protection. And that is something that we all have access to, and we can all work under the umbrella of that divine protection. So one of the things to keep in mind with the law of divine protection and with any spiritual natural law is that they do sometimes work in concert with one another. A big part of it is, in terms of the divine protection, is knowing that you have angels and that you have divine protection at your fingertips. Many times when we're wanting to work with the divine design, that web of existence, we sometimes forget to practice the presence of God. And it's something that we do need to be aware of. We get swept up in the secular living, and the mundane problems of the world can really feel like they're at the forefront of our day. But going back into that sacred connection is what is very fulfilling and will see you through all kinds of times in your life. And so in all ways, we can acknowledge God, the divine presence, and nothing is too small or too great. Those of you who have had readings with me or taking my classes know that it's really important to magnify the good, amplify that which is of the highest and best energy. And so it is when it comes to the law of divine protection. And we can sometimes have fears, be they large or small, that really swamp our boat. We feel, even just to think about it, we start to go into an anxiety mode, perhaps a fearful space that cuts us off from our divine inspiration and divine comfort that is always around us. And I'm just going to give some smaller examples because I think that it's important to have those small examples first so then you can apply them to the big ones. But let's say that you have a fear of talking to someone about bringing an issue up because you know that if you get mixed up in it, it's going to cause a big ruckus. And it might be end a friendship or end a relationship, but you feel that you're in that space of wanting to present it. That's where you would want to check in with your soul. You want to ask your soul, is this in my highest and best good? Is this in the highest and best good of others? And really check in on that because it's important not to bring energy down upon another person too forcefully. We are responsible for the energy that we bring to another person. Unfortunately, we cannot be in charge of how they take that energy or accept that energy around them. So that is kind of where the boundaries of personal responsibility are. We need to keep that in mind. And you can get very locked into the reasoning mind about these things, but you ultimately need to be checking in with your soul now more than ever when you are working through your life. And so she was determined to walk up to her lion. Now, that is taken from a biblical reference of Daniel going into the lion's den. And he was put into there because of his faith. Of his spiritual faith. He wanted to worship God and his own understanding. And so they placed him in the den of lions, and they fully expected that the lions would eat him. And the next day, they, instead of finding the remains, they found him whole and intact and in a peaceful state. And I do believe that he was really working in accordance with spiritual natural law that calms and comforts and knows that we can work so strongly with God in our lives and call upon divine protection. So when you call upon that law of divine protection, you have to walk up to your lion. And what that means is even if you're afraid, there's a sense of divine courage that comes in those moments, not foolishness, but divine courage that comes in those moments. And you start to feel, yes, I know that I am guided by God. And I know I will not make the situation worse, that all that I will make sure that my words are the most healing and gentle that I can possibly give to lovingly and firmly deal with the situation. And often what happens, I've noticed this in my own life, that somehow magically, mystically, the energy is cleared in advance of me going or in advance of me saying, or someone will say, yes, I've had that exact same thought, and this is how I am proceeding. And it is in the way that I had felt the divine guidance should flow. So when you're in the flow of God's will, a lot of these things will start to work out themselves and synchronicities will occur so that other people are aligning for that consciousness to take place. And so that's a wonderful example of how sometimes we have to gain courage to speak it, to voice something, but we have to know that it is, if it is in accordance with God's will, that it will flow and go. Now, sometimes I've noticed this, that a person's inner peace, if other people notice that you are peaceful, sometimes it makes them very irritated. And it's something that they can't understand because they don't have it for themselves and they don't know how to grasp it. And instead of asking or requesting or seeking in that profound spiritual way, they almost want to do away with the peace that is there. So we have to be understanding that we don't take that personally. That's something that's within them that is responding. They know that there's some level of error within themselves. So this kind of goes on deeper levels. But I think you can see some of its application with this. But with the divine mind at work, there's a lot that can occur on those synchronistic and serendipitous levels, people of protection will come round. Now, I found a wonderful book, and it is a children's book, and I actually found it with my first child. I found it in the library and in the whole language books, if you know what that is. And I thought, this is a really fascinating book. I almost can't wrap my head around it that it is a children's book. But I'm not going to read it to you. But the Girl Who Washed in Moonlight, and it's by Margaret Mahey. And I'm just going to summarize the story because it really is a fine example of the law of divine protection and many other spiritual natural laws in effect, but you can sense the divine protection in the story. So as most good stories begin, once upon a time, there was a girl who lived in with an old woman who was very negative minded. We could say wicked, that's what the story uses, and has that sort of evil intention. And she was basically a servant to this old woman, and she had to fetch and carry all day, and she was just thin and pale from all of her efforts. And there, you can understand some work, some chores, but this goes beyond it. This goes into absolute like Cinderella mode here. So she would go often and fill the woman's jugs at the spring. And she would fill a jar of the spring-fed, artisan-fed water for herself. And she would put it in the cupboard where she slept because she wasn't given a bed. She was in a cupboard. And she also had in that cupboard a little cake of soap that her mother had given her. And it was something where she would wash with the spring-fed water and the soap her mother had given her long, long ago. And at the end of the day, that is what cleared the energy that would help her to overcome what was going to happen in the day that would be next. So she would wash herself in this water and the soap, and in the morning when the sunlight fell on her, her hair shone like silk and she was clean. And now the witch, the old woman, it's referred to as a witch in the book, but I'm adapting it for our purposes. She would watch this girl very carefully, and what she didn't understand is how this girl could remain so pure and clean given the drudgery of the work she was given, but also because this woman wanted someone who was also of that negative mindset. She wanted a successor. And she knew that one day she would die, and she wanted that there would be someone else like her that would have these negative thoughts, that would have these negative intentions. And so every day she would read aloud to this girl these horrible things of mischief and malice and, of hate, truly. And then at night, when the girl was sleeping, she would unlock the cupboard and she would continue to whisper these words of hate and mischief and anger and fear upon the girl. And it's something she really wanted to have effect upon the psyche of this girl, but the girl had a pure heart. And there's a place for purity in this world, absolutely. And it should never be thrown to the side. There's a place of innocence within every single one of us. And that is that pure soul space that I'm talking about. So she had a pure heart. And so she would dream of sunshine. And she would have beautiful dreams of connection. And nothing was hurting the girl in her dreams. So the old woman noticed that she was washing herself morning and night, and so she wanted to interrupt. She wanted to make sure that the girl would not have the spiritual resources that had been what she used to clear her energy of the negative. And so what she did is she was not allowed to fill her water jug, and all she had left was a bowl of milk. that the old woman had given to her. So there she is. She's trying to wash with a bowl of milk. It's an interesting story, let me tell you. But we're gonna go through some of the symbolism in here in just a little bit. And she would take her little piece of soap that was now just a small piece of it now, and she would wash herself and still be able to be clear. And the old woman was gnashing her teeth because she couldn't get this girl to give over to the evil and the hate and the fear. And it didn't seem to matter to her because she was able to do this. So then she went even further. She decided to not give the girl water or milk, and she gave her nothing for her day's work except for a withered apple. Interesting. You know, these fairy tales, they use these symbols for a reason, the apple. And she was locked in the cupboard at night. And so the girl ate half of the apple, and then she, you know, washed with the soap and the apple. Interesting bathing habits here. But what, you know, she still felt that she was a bit streaked with darkness. She could feel that the effects of this were not working for her so much anymore. And so what she started to do is while the evil woman was telling her these evil words, these negative words, she really tried to hold within herself the spiritual food of words, of devotion, of poetry, of things of light and purity. Because that's what we need to do. We need to hold those words and those energies close to us. So eventually she started being able to hear the old woman's rants and her spiteful, hateful words. And the woman said that night, "There's nothing for you, dear. And you have been slow and you should have been faster. And now you must go to bed without any of this." And so the girl was sitting in the darkness. And there was no water, and there was no milk, and there's nothing, and her bowl is lined with dust, and there's not even the withered apple. And she was just aching, and she didn't even have water enough to cry, in her body to cry. And she's sitting in the darkness, and all of a sudden, something silver comes through a chink in her cupboard. And through that, it was that peephole and that crack that the evil woman would always try to funnel her negative thoughts. And what she decided to do is that she decided to put her vessel in the space of the moonlight that was beaming through that chink. And it filled her bowl with the light. She filled her bowl with the divine light. It makes me cry just to think about it. And she was able to wash in the moonlight, wash in the light of the divine. And she washed, and off came every dark stain of what had gone before. And she was able to let that, all of that that had grown upon her during that day, through those days, that she felt she hadn't been able to wash away, was finally able to be washed away. And she, every hair on her head was gleaming. She looked like a birthday cake with candles lit. It was amazing. And so there was this inner radiance that was able to come out because she was able to find a way to the light. Now, yes, this is an external source, but it's how we interpret the external light, how we interpret the external light of others and our environment and God, and how much do we allow that to clean away that which is negative. And so at midnight, of course, at midnight, the old woman unlocked the cupboard door because her intention was to whisper these evil things into the girl's ears and really cement home what she'd been doing, this idea of evil. And she expected nothing to show in the cupboard, nothing but darkness, this black hole she had put this girl into. And when the girl met her, she was gleaming so bright, the radiance was so strong that the old woman fell to her knees with this dazzling beauty before her. And this is, I will read you this one quote from the book. It's very profound to me, and hopefully to you. "Now," said the girl, "I am more powerful than you, and this house will be my house, where day can come as well as night. You must listen to my poems and sing my songs, and you will wash in spring water and milk until all your wickedness is washed away, until your heart is pure and you shine as I do. Then will we set out on our travels and light up the desolate corners of the world." Like two silver candles burning with power. And indeed, that is what happened. And that is what they did. I have a hard time reading that book without crying. Sorry. I should have had my tissues handy. And I cry every time I read it. So I have to not read it for the kids too much because of that. But she called upon divine protection, and the energy was able to work with her because she asked. The angels are around us, and we have to seek and we have to ask, and they do come around us in times where we feel so intensely the negative energy. And it's something that, whether you are a medium or an intuitive, if you're a human being in any way, you can call upon the divine light. And let that be what purifies you and leads you in your way of peace and harmony. And from a spiritual standpoint of looking at this book and also a literary standpoint, the symbolism is so fascinating to me. And I find that whether you think it's a person outside of yourself that is feeding you the bad or the negative or whatever it is, there's also a place within you that is also sabotaging yourself. When you're wanting to achieve your dreams, when you're wanting to find connection with God, and you allow a part of yourself to get in the way of having conscious awareness of the divine, it's as if there's that place within you, that old woman that has lived fear for so long and anger for so long. There's a place in us that we have to embrace her or him and hold them to us with light and love. Most stories, when evil or darkness is met, it is destroyed. And I didn't think about that until I read this book. But the ultimate way is to have a joining and to know that there can be a blending ultimately of these things. So call upon the divine protection in your life and know that it will work for you. And even on the moments where you feel so covered with the grime of the day or the energy what other people have given you in those moments, know that you can clear it, that it is absolutely within your power, and it is a God-given right, and it is completely able to occur, and that is where faith and trust come into play and into being within ourselves. So call upon that divine protection and know that it is there. And remember earlier I said that sometimes a person's peace can be disturbing to others. It's as if because they do not have it, they want to destroy it in you. Don't let it be destroyed. You enter into a state of grace and a state of inner power that will overflow and overcome those moments. And we have to give ourselves into that to that place. And, you know, I've read in books before, and there have been moments where I felt it myself. There's a place of divine poise. when you think of poise, you think of Miss America having poise. And or if you're having to go up in front of a group of people. But what if you're having to go up in front of yourself? What kind of level of divine poise are you going to have in those moments? Because that poise, that divine poise, is what gives you power. And that girl in the story, she went into a space of divine poise, into that God power, and into that prayer force that is life force. And you can feel that God power when you align with it. You can feel its radiance flow through every part of your being. And it will go through you, and it will be for the good. So when you feel that anger is blurring vision, when you feel that poisons are around, or you feel dis-ease or discomfort in those ways, and you're possibly allowing wrong decision to lead to failure, that is when you want to work on a soul basis to bring about the divine power within you. So I hope that this helps you to work through perhaps whatever you feel is a distorted mental picture within your own mind, to allow that which has been a fear to pass from you, to drive out what we perceive to be the enemies from our subconscious mind, and to be fearless until it is finished. So God does not want us to be afraid. The divine works through us and through many people. And it's important to embrace that you are living in a unique time, and that you can vibrationally link with that which is the highest and best at all times, and that your light and my light unite through that God power. And that reunion with another person's soul, with their higher self, is so sweet. And I feel that with when I'm in a reading with clients. I felt that other times throughout my life, but I just want to give that as an example. I feel the divine self unification that occurs within a reading with the people in spirit and with the client. And I know that so many of them feel that too. And so we look for that strength and wisdom within ourselves, and we will find it. And that divine power will protect us in the days to come. So perhaps this story was for you, or perhaps it is for you at another time. But remember that you could call upon the divine light of protection and live a radiant life in the here and the now and always. Whew. I'm going to leave it there. I will just briefly mention I have a class on Thursday night, which is tomorrow night, called Coping Strategies for Empaths. And if you're at all interested in attending it, it's a live online class through Zoom. And if you can't make the live class, I am making the video option available as well. So you can sign up for that on my website. And I do have links for it there. Whew, well, that was quite a journey for me. I hope it was a journey for you. Lots of love to you in the week ahead. And I'll see you next week on Wednesdays as well. God bless. And know that the divine is protecting you in the here and the now. Amen.